So this seems pretty open and shut to me. Clearly, either one of the two parents killed the child, and either one of the other parent is a co-conspirator, either in the murder or after the fact. How is this a huge mystery?
You know, there's two theories in this case, and it's that either it was somebody in the home, the family, at the time of the murder, or it was an intruder into the house that murdered her. There is a lot of evidence supporting the intruder theory. You have DNA evidence, palm prints, footprints, things in the house that were not prior in the house.
So DNA evidence and hand fingerprints that don't match
anybody
else. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Above the Legal Limit. I'm your host, Justin Chopin, business owner, lawyer, dad, world's best husband, traveler, and adventure seeker. On this podcast, we mix business with pleasure. We'll dive into growth strategies, entrepreneurial adventures, the business of law, and prove that business isn't boring. So let's get ready because we are going above the legal limit. Hey, welcome to another episode of Above the Legal Limit. I'm your host, Justin Chopin. Today, we're doing something a little different in that we are having a topical podcast. And this is not something we typically do. Usually, we'll have like a guest come on and we'll call them a guest. And then I will just filibuster for 35 minutes until they look weary. And then someone will just go like this and then they leave. And then I always say, it was really great having you on. And they don't reciprocate. They just like, yeah. And then they walk like slowly, but, you know, forcefully out of the building. But this is different. So this is a topical podcast. And I have special guests here today, Helena and Shoshana, who are respectively, Helena is our marketing coordinator. Shoshana is our bookkeeper. And say hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi, hey.
You know, I just got this vibe. There was like this old Saturday Night Live skit where, you know, kind of like a play on Martha Stewart where they're like baking. You know what I'm talking about? You guys are giving me that vibe. No?
Just like we bake? Or like you don't know. Look like Martha Stewart?
No, you don't. No, you don't. It's, y'all are so young. It was like it was a really funny skit for a while in like the early aughts or maybe like the late 2000s. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The whole thing.
You know, and they would just, and they're like, yeah, it's a good thing. You know, it was like a whole Saturday Night Live skit. Don't worry about it. So at any rate, but when you guys spoke like that. So recently you guys, I saw you were coordinating. There's a lot of discussion about JonBenet Ramsey. Now I thought this was over. No. So the last time I kept up with the JonBenet Ramsey trial or investigation really was in the late 90s, I was like screwing around in college and everybody was like, oh, I'm sure it's the dad, right? It's always the dad or the boyfriend. She's young, so it's the dad. And then I just moved on. But here we are 30 years later, I'm walking down the hallway and Shoshana's got crib notes several pages long, and I thought, this is something we should talk about. So let's get into it.
Okay.
So how the hell are you guys talking about JonBenet Ramsey in the year 2024?
Well, Netflix just came out with a documentary.
Okay.
Mostly from the point of view of the father. I'm assuming that he kind of reached out to Netflix and
sold some rights.
Exactly.
I thought he was dead.
No, he is not.
Someone's dead.
Patsy's dead.
Now, who's the Patsy? Mother. Patsy's the mother?
Yes.
So we're going to blame Patsy now because she can't defend herself, right? All right, let's get into it.
Okay, so that brings us to our first question.
So talk about cold case. I don't know. I don't remember anything about it other than she was a pageant, mm-hmm. You know, princess. Very style, glamour, you know, yes. Glamour hair. And her body was found dead in a basement. Mm-hmm. And why don't you fill me in on the details of the actual crime, and then we'll work our way through there.
Yeah. Do you want to do like a little timeline of the crime scene that day?
Okay.
We have that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. So this is all like a Christmas murder, pretty much.
Just okay. Well, that's topical. So for, you know, I don't know when this will air, but if you're listening to it, I'm not wearing Christmas socks, but I just assume be, because we are like, we are in deep Christmas right now. So Merry Christmas, y'all. So with that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, go.
So December 25th, this was the night before the murder on 1996.
Shut the fuck up. She got murdered on Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like before Santa or after Santa?
You know, the whole thing is that it was December 26th, 1996. They say the time of death was likely between 10 p.m.
So it's the day after Christmas.
That day.
See, you guys don't have kids. Mm-hmm. I get this. Mm-hmm. I have kids. December 26th is not a fun day. The cookies are gone. There's no big events. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The toys are everywhere. It's a very stressful time. Bills are rolling in. You're like, don't necessarily have to go back to work, but you kind of do. Mm-hmm. And all the ho, ho, ho and the fun is over. Mm-hmm. So, I'm getting a...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go on.
So all of the festivities for the Ramsey family were that the prior day, December 25th, they went to a family's friends, the Whites. Those are kind of important because later on in the story, when the body's found, Fleet White is John Ramsey's best friend.
Got it.
He and John Ramsey find the body that next day. So they went out to dinner at the White's house, drive back, and they drop off a few presents. On the way home, both John and Patsy Ramsey claim that JonBenet fell asleep in the car and was carried inside to her bedroom, and John Ramsey was in bed by 10:30 p.m.
All makes sense. How old is JonBenet?
6 years old.
Yeah, so that's legit.
Yeah.
That's what my kids do.
So
me too.
What? Right? There's a lot of things that sort of investigators sort of saw as holes in the Ramsey's testament as to what happened that night. The first would be the pineapple that was found undigested in her system.
Okay.
And if that pineapple had been digested in her system fully, then she would have eaten it before. But because it was still undigested, somewhere between those hours of 10:30 and the next morning, she had eaten pineapple. So even though they
said... like a midnight snack?
Yes.
But nobody knows because, I mean, I've had a six-year-old. They do weird shit. Mm-hmm. Like they wake up and they just go start carving pineapples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, because this should, I'm not a criminal lawyer, but I do, you know, I am a lawyer. And my next question would be, what was the menu at the White's house for Christmas?
Well, let me tell you that they found the bowl of pineapple and milk on the Ramsey's kitchen counter.
Okay, so that's their pineapple. Yeah. All right, go on.
And so then it just is to the next day, December 26, 1996. Around 5 a.m., Patsy Ramsey wakes up. She gets dressed. And this is something that I'm just going to point out because it's interesting. Patsy Ramsey puts on her same clothing that she was wearing the night before on this day. She redoes all of her makeup, but she puts on the same outfit that she was wearing before. Just going to put that out there.
Allegedly.
My daughter started saying allegedly now to everything. My 8-year-old's like, allegedly. What is the significance of her wardrobe?
So,
did she ever change?
Well,
out of her wardrobe.
What's interesting, and me and Helena have talked about this.
Okay,
is when Patsy put JonBenet down that night. She said she was wearing white long underwear and a red turtleneck sweater. When they found her body, she was wearing a white long sleeve shirt, and the red turtleneck Patsy said she put her down in was in a ball in the bathroom.
Okay.
So that outfit that JonBenet was found in was also the outfit she was wearing the night before at the Christmas party.
Okay.
Just a weird fact.
So the takeaway, if I'm understanding correctly, is that the daughter went to sleep in her clothes.
And woke up, or was found in different clothes.
In different clothes.
Than what Patsy said
she
was put away in. But another key fact of this case is JonBenet Ramsey had a huge bedwetting problem that was regressing. Her toilet training was regressing close to the time of the murder, and so people make this accusation that Patsy killed JonBenet out of anger for her bedwetting.
Like a mommy dearest moment.
Yes.
That seems like a lot. Hey, you know what else could be something, you know, noteworthy is that is at 6 years old for a girl to have a regression of bedwetting, does it maybe indicate a level of stress and anxiety in the home?
People even say, is it indicative of like sexual abuse?
Okay.
Because oftentimes children who are victims of sexual abuse will begin to have bedwetting symptoms supposedly to make themselves less accessible to whoever is acting against them.
Okay.
Okay, so Patsy walks down the staircase, the spiral staircase in her home, and she finds a ransom note demanding $118,000.
$118,000.
Very specific. That number is very specific.
That is the exact amount of John Ramsey's bonus, his Christmas bonus.
Yeah, oh, that year.
Okay.
And also, I just think overwhelmingly what investigators said about that amount is it was just very, very strange, that low of an amount.
It's really weird.
Well, John Ramsey's net worth at the time was around $6 million.
Okay.
So, I mean, you steal a child, you'd think you would ask for more money.
Or start high, yeah. Right? And what's the $18,000, right? So if I'm going to hold someone for ransom, I sure as shit, I'm not going to, you know, do $118,000. Mm-hmm. I figure I could probably come up with some extra change. Mm-hmm. You figure they're not going to pay it anyways. Or inversely, maybe you don't. Maybe you make the ransom like a lot of money, but not so much money that they're like, I can't pay that. Maybe you come in low. Maybe, you know, I learned this in sales before I went to law school, was a lot of times people think that there's an upsell. And we're talking, you know, and sometimes in sales, you want to sell low. Because if you upsell, you know, the possibility of them having the financing or getting whatever the product is that they need is a lot more challenging. If you can sell them low, you don't have to worry about that as much. So if I'm holding someone ransom, maybe I just come in at 75, mm-hmm. you know, because that's not, you know, that's not a crazy amount. It's really bizarre to me that it would not be like an even number that you would use.
Yeah.
An odd number like that.
Yeah. The other thing is the ransom note was 2.5 pages long. That was very strange to the investigators.
What did it say? Do we know what it says?
So it claimed to be a small foreign faction that did not have issues particularly with John's business, but the country that it serves. So they were claiming to be a foreign faction. The language in the ransom note is so well written that a lot of people sort of discredit the idea that it wouldn't be somebody, like they use words like attaché, things like that. And it just sounds like it would be from someone specifically. A lot of things in this note, including the handwriting samples, point to Patsy Ramsey as having written this note.
Well, and look, it doesn't matter who wrote the ransom note. It's entirely bullshit if mm-hmm. the child's already dead and in the house. Mm-hmm. So it could be written in like broken English demanding $1 billion or $50. It really doesn't matter.
Well, and the kicker is the ransom note was written from paper from Patsy Ramsey's notebook.
She's smart.
And there was also another letter in there that she had started off writing. And I guess...
Yeah, they found the pad and paper that the note was originally written on. When they found that and took it to investigate it, they found the beginning drafts of the ransom note, like Mr. and Mrs. crossed out. So there were several attempts, and it made it pretty clear that this note was written in the house. As far as the murder timeline goes, we know that it was written in the house that night.
Okay.
So that's pretty much, that's the note. She finds the note about around 5:30 a.m. Patsy calls the police to report the kidnapping once she sees that JonBenet is missing from her bedroom. This is when the investigation sort of takes a turn, and all of the things that could have been done or changed the course of this investigation. This is sort of where the crux of that starts. The family claims that Burke Ramsey, JonBenet's 9-year-old brother mm-hmm. at the time, was sleeping this entire time. There is discussion about this 911 phone call. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So a phone call was placed to 911 prior to that 911 call. And there's voices in the background. There's three voices. Who tested it again? It was
Aerospace Corp in Los Angeles heard at the end of that 911 phone call, Patsy's voice, "Help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus." And then John Ramsey saying, "We're not talking to you." And then at the end, they heard a young man voice saying, "What did you find?" So, of course, people are jumping to think, okay, Burke Ramsey was awake. What are his parents doing? But, of course, John and Patsy say Burke was sound asleep at this time, was nowhere near here. But they did listen back onto this tape and hear a young man's voice. So that's the only sort of hint, potentially, in that 911
call. So this seems pretty open and shut to me. clearly, either one of the two parents killed the child, and either one of the other parent is a co-conspirator, either in the murder or after the fact. How is this a huge mystery?
Well, what ended up happening, and this is all Detective Lou Smith takes a lot of credit for this, but there's two theories in this case, and it's that either it was somebody in the home, the family, at the time of the murder, or it was an intruder into the house that murdered her. There is a lot of evidence supporting the intruder theory. You have DNA evidence, palm prints, footprints, things in the house that were not prior in the house.
So DNA evidence and hand fingerprints that don't match
anybody
else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's hard to know because the second that the police walked into that house, the crime scene was contaminated.
So let's get to that part.
When the police got there and did their initial sweep of the house, they didn't even check the room where she was found. So right then and there, it's kind of like they're wasting time. It's already messed up. You can tell that they're incompetent. At some point, Patsy Ramsey calls over the families that she was with the night before.
The Whites.
Yes. Immediately after calling 911, Patsy makes two phone calls. The first to the Whites to come over and the second to some other family friends. And from that point, there is people in and out of that
house.
They're
bringing donuts,
cleaning,
they're bringing coffee.
Wiping up what will become the crime scene.
Yeah.
Sort of just contamination all around. And the reason that the police were called and what the police considered this investigation to be was a kidnapping. So they weren't considering this house to be a crime scene. They only sealed off JonBenet's room.
The house not be a crime scene if the child is allegedly kidnapped from the house?
Exactly.
I know that detective said you to bear in mind that this was during Christmas time. Not only was it amidst a shift change, but also this was when they're the lowest staffed, just because it's Christmas. But there is also evidence that the detectives sort of told police officers that no one else was needed and it was handled. And they had enough people on site at the time.
Okay.
So the police arrive, seal off JonBenet's room.
The body's not in the room, it's down in the basement,
no,
right?
And actually Fleet White, in their initial sort of search of the house, goes into the basement, opens the door that JonBenet's body will be found, but he doesn't know where the light switch is, so he doesn't turn the lights on. So he just notices that door was open, sort of looks in, and then because it's completely dark, goes upstairs. Later, at 1 o'clock, when the police tell John and Fleet White to go look for anything unusual in the house, they go straight to that room, find her body, and from there. And specifically when they find her body, John Ramsey rips the duct tape off of her mouth, which is a very important piece of evidence for the investigation, because there could have been potential DNA on that.
Right. Because duct tape, right? I mean, you'll get, it's easy to get DNA on that.
Mm-hmm.
Skin cells and...
He carries her upstairs, her dead body, and then covers her in a blanket. So all her body, there was no DNA found like outside of her body because it was covered in a blanket. But they did find the DNA in her fingernails. So.
That did not belong to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which is what kind of is important right now as they reopen this case. That's the DNA that they're using to test. Whether it's contaminated or I don't know if it's DNA, I'm assuming doesn't expire, but at some point, I don't know if they can use it or not. But basically, the second this investigation started, there were so many mistakes made, especially the police department. We talk about this a lot, was not used to homicide investigations at all. It's Boulder. That doesn't really happen there.
Okay.
And
nobody gets murdered in Boulder?
Not really.
That's good to know.
Yeah. No.
I'm going to Boulder. Yeah. That sounds great. No, everybody's getting murdered in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
No, I got murdered
last
week.
We're actually moving there.
Yeah.
Just a lot of mistakes made on their part. And that's, I think, one of the main reasons why there is no answer to this case is because they messed up so badly.
So what ended up happening? So anybody gets indicted?
So the grand jury was dismissed December 1996. They had gone for about a year deliberating. They actually did a tour. They took all of the grand jury members on a tour of the house. I did a lot of looking into this because I've never heard of the grand jury going to do that. And apparently
sometimes
in cases where there's not a lot of evidence, they go to give the jury a better feel of exactly what was going on.
Sometimes too, where a picture, a diagram, a drawing like doesn't suffice. It's not common, but it can happen for juries to go view some things offsite.
Yeah. So, basically no indictment was made due to insufficient evidence. That's what the DA at the time, Alex Hunter.
This would be indicting the parents on charges of child abuse, not murder.
Okay, so the charge was child abuse, not murder.
In 2013, it was revealed what the grand jury sought to indict.
Right, because grand juries, and you know, the evidence is not public. It's private, right? It's sealed. So they unsealed it in 13, and the charge was a lesser charge. Okay. So do we know why they was a lesser charge of abuse and not murder?
I think because there wasn't enough evidence to charge them on murder. But the documentary really showed how much of a role the media played in this case. And so many people were coming out claiming that they were abusing her by putting her in pageants. And one woman who did an interview even went to the extent of saying, like, a dance that JonBenet performed during one of her pageants was indicative of a child who's been sexually active. And it's literally her playing, what was it?
A saxophone,
yeah. Like going just up and down with it. Like,
oh, well, people are
around.
So perverse. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll look for anything.
Exactly. It said more about the person making that comment than it does about the parents.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to have a voice, but, you know, okay. Well, I don't, yeah. So, well, it's not surprising to me that they wouldn't be able to return an indictment on an abuse charge for a murdered child. But that, I mean, typically on an abuse charge, you would want to see, you know, I'm not a criminal lawyer, but you would see instances of 911 being called out, police, you know, domestic violence, you know, the school, issue with the schools, you know, photographs, something.
Well, there was a lot of evidence. She had been hospitalized. And
In the 24 months prior to her murder, she was hospitalized at least 19 times.
For what?
So one time, Burke Ramsey, the younger brother, was swinging his baseball bat, hit her in the face. She had to go to a plastic surgeon. Then she was walking in the grocery store with John Ramsey, and she fell and hurt her nose. And then she fell again a month later. So those were just some of the instances.
Okay. That's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. But
let me ask you, is the 9-year-old brother, is he in the documentary?
He is not. But he recently did an interview, like, days ago, I think. Did you end up watching that?
I watched the Dr. Phil one with Burke. Mm.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be him, though, at all.
So what happened after the... No, I didn't think it'd be him, but he would probably know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's going to know if he crushed his sister's face with a baseball bat or if one of her parents did it.
Or the flashlight. So they're saying... So she had, like, I think it was, what, 8.5... would it be centimeters or inches? Well, it was a huge crack in her skull. And because her cause of death was asphyxia by strangulation and head trauma. This blow to the head was either from a flashlight found in the Ramsey household, which they found out Burke Ramsey sleeps every night with this flashlight under his bed.
Okay.
And that flashlight was in the house. And then I don't know if this baseball bat belonged to the house, but it was there. So one of those two were part of the murder weapon.
Yeah.
Is the takeaway there that there's a possibility that the 9-year-old is, like, you know, either sadistic or, you know, typically I would think children of that age who would commit a crime like that, it wouldn't be like, and that one time when I killed my sister, right? Mm-hmm. Like you would show pattern of a criminal behavior. Mm-hmm. Like I would think Burke Ramsey would be probably rotting in prison by now, mm-hmm. right? So it's not like, did y'all watch the series on Jeffrey Dahmer? Mm-hmm. Right, so I watched a little bit of it. I don't love crime dramas. I know. I don't like to watch lawyer shows because I see the shit all day long. I don't like crime dramas because it's like, I don't know, it makes me sick. Like, I don't like to watch it. If I'm watching TV and I'm not watching like Bluey or whatever my kids are making me watch, but if I'm watching TV, it's generally fluff because I'm taking 1 hour out of my day to just like kind of decompress. And so if I'm decompressing, I don't want to watch someone be murdered. That's not relaxing. I would rather watch, I don't know, anything else. So now my wife, Lindsay, is like, she hates this, right? Because she wants to watch all that. And when I go out of town, she's like, it was great. We got chicken wings and we watched NCIS. It's a huge role reversal, I suppose. But it's like makes me sick. But I did watch a little bit of it. And I was a psychology major in college. So, you know, we'd read the case studies on various, you know, killers and things like that. Point is, it's, you know, it's not like, oh, there was this one time that I murdered somebody.
No,
you know, right. It's a pattern behavior. It's a pattern of impulse behavior. So, you know, it would stand to reason like, oh, well, a 9-year-old certainly capable of maybe a small 6-year-old girl. But I would think by now, you know, and I can see a situation where the parents would be like, holy shit, what did you do? And then they would cover it up. And they're panicking, and so they're covering up with stupid shit. And you're like, I don't know, write a ransom note with your flower pen. But then just have it as an isolated incident and have 30 years pass doesn't really make any sense. So after the indictment, was there anything else or, you know?
No.
Several, you know, they've had several people come forward. What's weird about this is, I guess, pedophiles really like the title of being the person that killed this young girl. So there were several people that
noted.
Came trying to forward. Negotiate and everything. They're already incarcerated. So they're saying, oh, I did it.
I was with her.
If I admit it, can you reduce my sentence or, you know, mm-hmm. put me on parole or something?
What a funny world they must live in.
Yeah.
Like if I confess to first degree murder, would I get any leniency on my other murder? Well, yeah. No. No, that doesn't usually work that way.
But then there's also people that have come forward, like, I forget her name, but she claims to be John Ramsey's niece. And says that when she was around JonBenet's age, he would abuse her as well, doing the same exact thing that he was done to JonBenet when she was murdered, when she was strangled. It was to the point she would basically pass out for a second and then come back. And they used, I don't remember what it's called, but when she was murdered, it was the mom's paintbrush.
The garrote.
Yeah. And they would do that to her every Christmas.
They would strangle her every Christmas?
Yes.
What?
Like, it was just like a pattern of abuse. Yeah.
I might need a little more clarification here. What kind of paintbrush?
Okay, so there was a garrote found.
And what is a garrote?
A garrote is like, it's a very, so what investigators said about this garrote initially with their investigation is it takes a very specific expert in knots, so somebody that's a sailor or something like that, and it's basically
like a noose,
like the end of the paintbrush tied around, and then that was like tied around her neck, and you can pull it to make it tighter. I'm
assuming. So she wasn't strangled with hands, she was strangled with a noose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then that seems to indicate that the 9-year-old likely has nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how to tie a noose, right? And we had a massive racial discrimination case a few years back that was against one of the largest ship owners in the world. And the issue was, you know, whether or not this item was a noose. And, you know, they were like, well, that's not a noose because it doesn't have this or that, you know. That was my first, you know, time, you know, having that frank of a discussion as to what constitutes a noose. So, okay, so when you said she had been strangled, I kind of just assumed she was So, and you're saying that this is like a perennial event where, like, you know, Santa comes down the chimney and then, have our familial strangulation. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
But a lot of people come out with stuff like that. We bake cookies.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Every family's different.
Everyone has traditions.
Everyone has traditions. Mine, you know, is like, we'll drive, you know, and see the Christmas lights in City Park. And my kids will do, we did gingerbread houses this year. And my 8-year-old insisted that we do the one from scratch. She's like, I don't want any free, you know, prefabricated house.
No.
And it was horrible. And they don't know, but I'm about to throw it away.
I did a Starbucks one last year. It was cool.
Starbucks sells them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, and it's a Starbucks store.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. But was it, did you have to build it?
Yes.
Yeah. Folks, if you're watching this, don't buy the ones that you have to put together. It's not easy. Mm-mm. It's a huge burn. It was awful. Mm. Okay, so every year she was trying. How do we know that?
I don't know. Who would have testified to such a thing? Like, so that wasn't in the court documents. There was a lot of sort of people coming out after.
This is just an example of the types of people that came out after the crime. Like, kind of up until this point, people are still saying, like, literally days ago, Daily Mail just reported on it that somebody sent John Ramsey a note because of the Netflix documentary, and she said, I've known for years who killed JonBenet. It was my husband. Please call me. So it's like, at this point...
Well, you got a lot of crazies, right, at this point. You know, exactly. I can imagine that.
Especially when we have countless documentaries. We've got TV shows that are kind of spinning off the case and...
I suspect a child has not been named JonBenet ever since, right? Yeah, like, it's, you know... A traumatic event in American culture now. Well, this is all very weird for you guys to be this obsessed with this. I just want to be very frank and open about this. Mm. But I didn't keep up, and this is very interesting. It's the parents, obviously, killed her. You'll never convince me otherwise.
So, like, say they test the DNA and everything now and they figure out who it is, what would that look like, a case like that look like, because it's been so long? Like,
are you saying do the forensics degrade over time? Is that the question? I don't know.
Like, if they do test the DNA and find a match, and... I'm guessing they decide to prosecute whoever it is if they're alive.
Sure. So that's the thing, you know, there's no statute of limitations on a murder like this, right? I mean, this is a first degree murder by my standard, you know, whatever, that didn't mean anything, but you know, but I mean, it is a minor, you know, and it's not a bar fight, right? I mean, you know, there is some sort of premeditated quality to it. And then there's this whole cover up. You know, that's what, going back to Jeffrey Dahmer, I didn't see this in the show, but I remember reading the, you know, psychoanalysis of it. And his defense at one point was, well, you know, I'm not guilty by virtue of being, you know, insane. And there is, like, you can kind of get it. You're like, sure. I mean, you just sound really freaking crazy because you ate some of them, and you have to be crazy to do that. But no, because he covered up his crime. And so when the court, you know, the court's takeaway was, well, you don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to be like, I'm so fucking crazy. I don't know that I was, you know, raping, murdering and eating people. And then cover up your crime at the same time. So here, there's this cover up aspect to it as well. I mean, it's very clear, no matter what anyone says, that there's a cover up. There's anybody who's kidnapping a child for ransom doesn't then murder them in the house where they're in. They may murder them somewhere else, but they don't murder them in the house.
So it's important to bring up. What kind of a ransom is that? The suitcase. Because a lot of people, so next to the basement window door, they found a suitcase. Empty with a shoe print on it. Some investigators said it was to, like, help the intruder step onto the suitcase, and they proved that it helped them get down. But a lot
of people... Because they came in through a window.
Yeah, but a lot of people say that that was supposed to take the body out of there, get her out of there, and when that didn't work out, he wrote the ransom note and killed her. Because he couldn't get her out of the house.
So you think that she would have still been alive, and then that didn't work out, and so then they killed her?
I don't really understand why that suitcase was there. That's one of the many things.
Well, it's a basement.
Just, yeah. Like,
where do they keep their suitcase?
It wasn't their suitcase. That's the other thing. Is this another evidence of an intruder, is that this suitcase was not known to the Ramsey household.
By whose testimony?
But by the police investigation.
You know, if I come to your house right now and I say, hey, is this your suitcase? And you're like, nah, I've never seen it before. I'd be like, I don't know. Helena, I mean, it's your closet. Mm-hmm. And you're like, nope, it's not my suitcase. I'm gonna say you're full of shit. So how can you testify and say, well, I have this suitcase in my basement and I've never seen that before. Okay, I get it. I don't believe you, mm-hmm. right? And so it just goes to the weight of the testimony, of course. Well, look, this is all very interesting. I'm not going to watch the JonBenet show for this. I feel caught up on the crime. You haven't convinced me that I want to spend my last hour of the day watching a documentary about a 6-year-old being murdered. So maybe I can catch it like in the morning or something.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Same reasons. It's very stressful for me. But I got the hands thing, which means they're ready for us to stop talking about it. Key takeaway is like, what else? What do we need to know? What do I need to know walking away from this?
Well, the reason I'm just going to testify as to why we are so obsessed with this cold case, I think my personal reason at this time, you had the Menendez brothers,
mm-hmm.
the O.J. Simpson
right.
trial. To me, what is so interesting about this case in comparison is those two were celebrities. The Menendez brothers were very high profile. John Ramsey also has a very big net worth at the time, but they're much more of a normal, average family, you know, upper class. But when the Menendez brothers were actually guilty, people were, you know, trying to prove their innocence. When O.J., whatever your opinion on that is what it is. But
I think everybody knew OJ was guilty.
But they still sort of didn't. People show so much more mercy, I think, to those high profile people. And
no
then
doubt.
Now you have people scrutinizing this mom and dad who are, you know, just doing their best to. I mean, we don't know one way or the other. Nothing has been proven in the investigation. And I just think that's sort of why I've gravitated towards this case, because it just seems like the public opinion can vary so much depending on who the defendants are.
Always. And the media always plays a huge part in it. And they'll say it like a mantra, but they don't believe it, that people are innocent until proven guilty. But in American society, if you believe...
Court of public opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe in this democracy, if you believe in America and the criminal justice system, and you don't believe that someone's innocent until proven guilty, you know, you're a hypocrite. You have to believe that fundamentally. We have to as a society. So I agree with you. I think on the O.J. Simpson case, everyone knew he was guilty. They didn't really care a whole lot. What they really wanted to see is if he could get away with it. And they took delight in, you know, watching the trial and the theatrics of it to see, could he pull it off? And, you know, it's grotesque in a lot of ways. But, I mean, everyone knows O.J. Simpson killed Nicole Simpson, right? Mm. Right? Did I say the name right? Nicole Simpson, right? I didn't realize those all happened in 96. I guess that
does.
I don't
think it's the same year, but very I know close, they were though. All very, yeah, close, very close together. And, yeah. You know, the new Menendez documentary just came out as well. Or not documentary, I guess.
That's something that would be interesting.
Show.
And I have followed the news articles on that. Very fascinating. But, all right, well, hey, guys. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for educating me and all of our millions of viewers about this. JonBenet Ramsey, you know, I didn't know there was a Netflix series. I just thought you guys were just like cold case hunters.
No, but and we someone will solve told
me. Yeah.
We will solve it.
I think you should. I don't really see any reason why not. The mom's dead, right? Patsy's gone?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, court of Justin, I'm not overly impressed with the suitcase defense. Mm-hmm. I'm not overly impressed with the footprint on a suitcase. For all I know, there was a heating repair guy out there in the winter checking out the furnace. To me, I have children, and that whole scene, having the child be missing, not really missing, but in the basement, and then you write a ransom note. It's very clear that it's on your paper with your pen. Now, if you didn't kill her, you helped. And if you didn't help, you helped covered it up. So, but I guess, you know, who knows? Oh, are they doing DNA testing now? Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll have to wait for that. That'll be exciting.
Exactly. That's the whole thing is the case is open and things are happening.
And this is the DNA found on her fingerprint, you know, under her nails? Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was a DNA in her nails and I think her underwear on the as
duct
well.
Tape as well.
Yeah.
And her underwear?
I thought it was her underwear. Found on her underwear.
I mean, they found DNA multiple places.
Well,
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show. It was great having you guys. We're going to continue this discussion in a little bit. We've got the full breakdown, but I want updates as this goes.
Oh, yeah. When we solve this, it'll be as the law firm.
Yeah, the Chopin Law Firm is going to solve the crime.
We actually were
researching
this.
It's not even what we do,
this,
but we're going to do it anyways.
We were researching this before that documentary came out. The documentary came out. Then we decided
probably
to go on here.
Exactly. Because we're into it.
Then we wanted to go on here. And then ABC 2020, this past weekend, comes out with another, you know, feature with John Ramsey. So it's ever
dare I say war influencers.
Yeah. I think you are. Yeah. You clearly are. All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today on Above the Legal Limit. If you enjoyed the show and you want to hear more about business and law, hit that subscribe button. If you didn't like the show, keep it to yourself. Remember, there's no limit to what we can achieve. We will see you next week. Until then, even though we're above the legal limit, let's drive safely. Cheers, everyone.